May I first welcome those who are here this morning as observers, as well as the developments that we'll get to shortly, and first relay some messages to you for those who could not be here. Mr. Hamilton Morrison, that most of you know, has been in the hospital for some time, or was in the hospital for some time, and he sent a note this morning that the reason he had been unable to make the meetings is because of surgery he had last month, and as soon as he's physically able, he will be attending again.
Who's this guy?
That is Hamilton Morrison. Also, I have a letter here from City Councilman Mike Schaefer. He says, I attended last week's scheduled dialogue only to find myself the only person present.
There were two.
On Friday, December 1. I'm going to ask him about that statement and have it put in the record also. On Friday, December 1, I was in Los Angeles attending a two-day underground, underground utility seminar for the city. The mayor was in Mexico attending for a basketball franchise, and Tom Hum was attending the Fair Employment Practices Commission hearing in Los Angeles, he being one of the commissioners. Next Friday, today, I will be in Los Angeles for a two-day Governor's Traffic Safety Conference. This is an annual event for me. When we're out of town on legitimate, legitimate public business, I trust you will answer the many critics who cannot understand our absence from the on and off schedule dialogue. He attached the request for dialogue evaluation to his. Also, Ed Butler cannot be here, but we have someone sitting in his place. And Julian Wise has a direct message for us. At 8 o'clock this morning, he's in Los Angeles, and he says he agrees entirely with us that the two major issues facing the country today are Vietnam and the race problem. We'll take care of the latter because he's on his way to Vietnam, and we want him to take care of the former. He will be in Vietnam for about 5 days. And Reno, yeah, both of them together. The mayor and Julian Wise will be together in Vietnam. That's well, you know, this problem. Are there any other messages from any city councilmen, board of supervisors, or any other that should be at this time mentioned?
Question of Mr. Schaefer's message. The man was in consultation on baseball, not a basketball.
Oh, correct. That was my mistake in baseball. Any other messages at all? If not, may we get the agenda in front of us? There are some who will be attending our meeting who have not been introduced yet, as well as we have several observers this morning. Maybe we should take a minute out and go around the table again. I think we can say our names and, if you wish, the affiliation. I'm Carol Lehman, and on my left here is
Mike Amador, Harvard Area Community Action Council.
Bill Dorr, Police Department. Bill Collender, Police Department.
And Glenn Allison, Community Office Council.
Ken Lomsbury, Deputy City Attorney.
Dave Doxley, Minister of Bethlehem Church.
John Johnson, Urban Liaison.
Leon Williams, David. Jack Katz, EOC.
Homer Dietrich, representing Glenn Copeland from the Welfare Department.
Phil Dark Campbell, Impact.
Frank Bonham, Later.
Mike Fitzgerald, 200th Anniversary.
John Thrall.
Robert Lehman, Sustaining the Management Council.
Bill Horner, Student of Social Work.
Gary Moore.
Jim Burke, Student.
George Stevens, Andy Urban League.
Les Collins.
Alan Hitt, City Council.
Marion Currier, Citizen. Rosemary Lyon, Citizen of the Race Committee.
Brett Morey, Citizen of the Street of Officer County, San Diego.
Mark Keller.
Bob Matthews, City School.
Tom McDuncan, City School.
Gary Atkins, City Recreation.
Joe McGuire, City Administration.
Do you two from the school just have to sit together over there?
You're sweetening our impact.
Last week, you might recall that we took time out from the subject that was on the agenda. We took time out to back up again and spend most of the time looking at ourselves and looking at how we should, this dialogue, begin to talk about the value of the dialogue, where we were going with regard to those absent and those present. The minutes will reflect part of what we discussed. There's a song out that's called, what is that song? It Be That Way Sometimes. And I say that because we had a little mishap with the machine, and as you will notice on the minutes here, it says note, due to a malfunctioning in the tape recorder, the minutes of the meeting of December 1 were not recorded. So what we did was, through our experts, make notes of those actions that were taken, specifically with regard to authorization of the chair to get committees going and make some contacts during the week. We trust that the statement that sometimes it be that way won't be appropriate next time, but I think they did an excellent job anyway. Would you take time, a couple of minutes then, and read the minutes, see if there are any corrections, and let's get into the notes, anything that we might have missed. Also, the secretary recorder would like for us then to go back and make any notes that we think should be now recorded from last week from our collective memories, inasmuch as they were not able to get it all down. So for the next 10 minutes, let's take time, read these notes, any comments you wish to add, corrections, additions that we obviously might remember together individually. Let's say them now so as to get them in this record referring from last time so that we can have them properly completed. Recorded here before we get to your recall from last time. Any additions that we should make on this particular sheet? If not, may we for a moment reflect on the last minute and ask ourselves, the last meeting, and ask ourselves whether or not we want to add anything to these so as to make them more complete according to how you feel about it. Are these, or is this sufficient for you?
from your recall from last time?
Prison, Mr. Chairman, the call for the order today.
Right. Any other? Then the agenda today. In order to get this out of the way, B says mechanics with reference to dialogue. Joe, would you and Mary just in a minute or two tell us what plans have been worked out at this moment for the notices, how many notices will be sent, from so forth, that's now worked out complete, please?
Well, the first notice will come out of CIC office the first Tuesday after the Friday meeting with the agenda for the next meeting. The second notice will come out the following Tuesday or the Tuesday before the meeting with a copy of the minutes. So we hope that everyone will receive two notices. First, primary for secretaries to put on calendars. The second to give you a little nudge and a reminder. I think that's about it.
Mary, any additions? Long to take recorder holds up. You need contributions from us for another take recorder, Mary? Number C is the report. We have to take time out to go over and what we did this last 2 weeks and look at ourselves and get that out of the way. So we'll be spending some time on now tying up what we did from the last time. The first is I'd like to make a report on a couple of meetings and then have other members make a report. The first meeting I'd like to report on is the meeting with the chairman and Mr. Don Keller, district attorney, as agreed upon here. Mr. Don Keller agreed that he would contact the Board of Supervisors and request that the top county administrator be assigned to attend the city dialogues on a regular basis. That he would go before the Board of Supervisors to make this request as a representative of this dialogue group and as authorized by it. This request would be made on the basis that it is important not only for the Board of Supervisors to attend as individual members, but also for the administrator, who would be making specific recommendations to the Board of Supervisors around specific issues discussed, to be also at the dialogue. He also agreed that he would make other contacts with Mr. Herb Klein, for example, of the Tribune, to attend a meeting to be set up for members of the press and members of this dialogue to discuss the urgencies of these meetings and how the press may broaden its base of understanding from which it may continue and expand coverage of these meetings. He also agreed that he would attend that press meeting. The chairman feels this meeting was very productive and the press and TV coverage Mr. Keller requested to the Board of Supervisors as outlined above. Also, a meeting the chair met with Mr. John Goff, of the executive director of the 200th anniversary celebration. In summary, the points covered were: more attention should be given to the inclusion of all minorities at all levels of the structure of the 200th anniversary celebration. This includes not only the board of directors, but committees, the hostess, any representatives sent out of the city, and all other activities of this celebration. Two, some direct action will be taken to make this a reality. Three, the chairman agreed to send to Mr. Goff a revised directory in which most of the Southeast community groups and agencies are listed, some of which were not included in the directories possessed at that time by Mr. Goff. Four, we discussed in detail the feelings of the minorities in not being represented in all printed literature and other visual aids depicting our city. Chairman suggested several specific actions in this regard, starting with personal conferences with all minority groups and representatives throughout the city and county of San Diego. Chairman made specific suggestions on the inclusion of Southeast San Diego as one of the areas for tourists to visit and be listed in all literature along with other areas to be visited. In regard to the above item, Chair pointed out that immediate action be taken to hire, if necessary, a historian to research landmarks in Southeast San Diego to be included as visiting sites.
chairman suggested that a written communication from his office to all the different groups confirming and including the commitment to include minorities as outlined above as an urgent matter before any action could be taken by the chairman in helping to implement any of these programs. Furthermore, that minority groups must have some kind of concrete expression of these commitments before they are likely to participate or respond to such requests, and that the minorities would be awaiting his call. And eight, Mr. Goff indicated that the 200th anniversary committee itself does not have money as such to put into the revamping or rebuilding of the possible sites of historical importance in Southeast San Diego, but would explain how it may be possible to secure necessary funds through group participation and the latter's fundraising when these groups meet with him. Chairman also indicated strongly that the City Dialogue Group has feelings as well as possible suggestions with regard to the 200th anniversary celebration and would be discussing them as a topic at subsequent meetings to which he would be personally invited. One I left off was the discussion of including in their design at this point the whole business of the hotels, motels, and other accommodation sites also being as an urgent matter for them to look at in terms of reflecting San Diego. The meeting, that's all on the meetings I would like to report on. The other meetings were visited and attended by other members. I would like to ask the members who were at the meeting on December 12th, Tuesday, where some of the TV representatives and the press were present to report instead of my reporting. There were several there. Some are present now. I would like for each to spend a minute or two and give your reflections on the value or the lack of the value, however you feel, about the meeting we had in Mr. Wise's office, meeting with members of the press and the paper. I haven't asked anyone to do this, so by design, I'm going to call on two or three. Around the table, Glenn was there, John was there, Leon was there. Would either of you three like to reflect on that meeting? In a capsule fashion.
Well, I guess as quickly as possible, I thought that the executives and the editors from both the papers and from the television and radio media made it pretty clear that they supported and were interested in the dialogues, but that they felt that whatever took place had to be newsworthy, and that I think that they maintained the prerogative of determining that and the assignment of people to it. I thought they gave us some very good specific tips on what things would constitute newsworthy things as far as they were concerned, ways in which they determined how they use their staff and how they use their camera time and so forth. One has to do with the things which are specific and concrete, and they had expressed the feeling, at least a number of them, that the dialogues may be very good as far as our understanding is concerned, but the kind of process that takes place and the kind of time and the rather amorphous character of it makes it very difficult for them to make a story out of it. It needs to be things which are very precise and specific. Second thing was, it seemed to me, they suggested that important people help to make news, and that is that if we were discussing some topic, to have a person who is an authority in that field or who is an important, prominent person would be a thing which would contribute to their newsworthiness. The third thing was that, like it or not, a good deal of what they regard as newsworthy is controversy. And they don't want to in any way, I think, contribute to the controversy, but made it plain that if there is controversy there, that is where they're going to zero in to find the story. I thought the other thing that I regarded as positive out of this was the fact that people in the who attended there had a chance to reflect on some of the things which the newspaper had done reporting the dialogues. In general, it was regarded positively. But also, it seems to me, some of the news stories which have come out in a chance to discuss with these editors I made them realize that their perception of the community and what needed support was not necessarily what the minority regarded as of that much import. And there was some discrepancy between the newsman's perception of stories to be given a lot of prominence and the minority's community of what's an important story. And that's as much as that I wanted to say about it, except I thought the response was good. I thought that what they said was the height of, I think, the professional, in saying there are no bargains, we're not telling you we're going to do one thing about it as far as coverage, but if you will make newsworthy things, newspaper men will be there. And what we'll do is we'll do it our way, and then we'll come back together in a few weeks and kind of talk again and see how we're doing as far as you're concerned, and we'll be kind of instructed by each other. Which I thought was very much like the kind of commitment we made originally when we sat down at these dialogues and said to when the city said, you know, will you help us? We said, don't ask us for any promises to keep a long, hot summer or to prevent riots or anything like that. We'll talk about a problem. And if in talking about that problem and working on that problem, those things don't happen, fine. But don't put us in the position of saying it's going to come out a certain way. I thought the newsmen did the same kind of thing. Don't make it, don't stack the deck. We won't stack it. We'll all go our own way as best we understand it, really work at it, and keep talking back and forth.
Thanks, Glenn. Some other, John?
He took my 1 minute, Carol.
We need another half, John.
Tom, I might want to have a minute. Tom McNuckin was there rather than Leon, maybe. Yeah, I think it was a miniature dialogue group, and there was a good deal of understanding coming out of both on the part of the minority and the majority group, and I think it was mutually beneficial, and I think that it was the essence that they wanted to continue to meet periodically. So that's the only issue.
Matt Johnson, did you want to reflect?
No, not Glenn Tubbs.
Don,
I would just remark that, well, as Glenn has indicated, there wasn't anything really promised or definitive about it. I think that it was significant, and we did lay a groundwork for understanding and really opened the door for contact with the press and the news media.
Any other?
Kern.
Ken was there.
Kern.
Well, I just had to call on with Mr. Johnson that I did feel as though it was a miniature dialogue. And then out of it, I believe that more interest was established about the city dialogues and that coverage that we should receive. I would hope to see that in support of a dialogue that is involved with the implement of the team.
Mary, you were there from the. You're the only one. You were there from the city. Would you like to add any reflection?
No, I think it's very well stated. And I think that I would hope that these meetings will continue to meet. That it was a dialogue between
the. I need not add any. I thought it was also as everyone had said. We will continue. We'll get a group that will meet with them. I think it should be broadened a little, and maybe the size should not be increased. But maybe we should get a regular group to meet with the press periodically to continue to broaden their base for understanding what's really happening here. The other meeting was with the agenda committee, and while all members did not attend, and while we felt that the agenda committee should be broadened a little, which we'll try to do, include more of a greater representation of ideas and so forth in terms of that agenda committee, those of us who did meet would think that it was productive. And while it's not complete, we'll continue to meet regularly so that from here on in, as we agreed last week, the agenda will be funneled through this committee. George Stevens will give a report on that agenda committee. May I add, as chairman, that because of the urgency of one item on that agenda, George has been authorized to make a statement with regard to that. George.
This is a meeting held December 13, 1967 in the CIC office. Those present were Carol Wayman, Chairman, George Stevens of the Urban League, Leon Williams, Neighborhood Youth Corps, Glenn Allison of the Community Welfare Council. The items discussed included selection of topics which would be pertinent for inclusion on the agenda of the City Community Dialogue and the establishment of priorities for discussion of such items. Those topics decided upon, their order of priority are as follows. 1. The San Diego Transit Company. Unfinished items in this category will be completed and a specific area of concern will be raised. This being the fact that no minority persons were involved in the cross-country transporting of new buses from Michigan to San Diego. An opportunity which could have been used to great advantage both locally and nationally to demonstrate and signify a policy of inclusion to both minorities and majority communities in San Diego and across the country. 2. The treatment of minority youth community leaders in arrest situations and the effect those actions have. Specifically, the case of Walter Kimball, Chauncey Crosby, and Charles Henderson as due process of law and justice. 3. The 200th anniversary celebration and the meaningful inclusion of minorities at all levels. To convey that meaningful inclusion means that minorities will be represented at all levels of operation and to refrain from the general habits of using Negroes as an, I quote, excuse or inaction of giving the impression that they are being involved when no such involvement has been agreed upon. 4. Other topics were discussed and will be taken up in subsequent meetings with an expanded agenda committee. This is the committee discussion which Carl was referring to just now. The committee authorized this statement be read separately because of its seasonal urgency, although otherwise it would have been a future agenda item. This is concerning employment. With the Christmas rush and increased employment in almost every area of retail and operations, in a visual survey, has revealed that few minorities, specifically Negroes and Mexican Americans, are not being included in areas of visual employment opportunities. And mainly we're speaking of the shopping centers in the downtown San Diego area. Twice this week, I have taken a walk through the downtown area of San Diego, and specifically Main Street, which is Broadway. And this morning, before coming to this meeting again, I took another walk. Now, the store is open at 9:30 and 10 downtown, but most of the workers are there at 9 o'clock, so I looked through the windows of most of the stores on the main floor downtown San Diego. It revealed that there were two Negroes in these establishments in visible position this morning, and I'm very sorry to say that both of them had brooms in their hands, and one was pushing a cart. Now, the businesses on Broadway, as we know, traditionally, there are two that hire minority persons that on the levels of echelon that we would be proud of, such as Walker Scott and Bank of America. But the other and the pattern of Broadway is one of segregation. Now, the point is that Negroes, and as I previously stated, should be in visible positions because one, Negroes are shopping in these stores. And two other Negroes who may want to apply would not apply if they did not see other Negroes working there. And that's why it's important for the visible positions itself. Now, I want to make this very clear and for the record, that from the observations in our main street, and this comes from the observation which was originally made at the airport in visible positions, although some airlines had many Negroes employed in positions that were not visible, then I say that it's just significant for the city of San Diego and the street of Broadway to make the visible impact upon the people who are tourists in the city of San Diego that minorities are represented in all levels of employment, and specifically on the Broadway street. Because if a person was making a survey this morning, they would have to report that the city of San Diego, the street of Broadway, is one of the most segregated cities and streets in this country. Thank you.
Thank you, George. Before asking for any action to be taken on any report, may I add that at the last meeting, several individuals, or few individuals, volunteered to make certain contacts in order to effect the meeting on which we just received reports. I should like to publicly acknowledge, in addition to Mr. Don Keller, as I've mentioned, Mr. Bob Lehman, who agreed to call certain individuals. He's here today. I understand that you had a busy phone time for a while, Bob. May we thank you again for your contact.
Well, my understanding was that I was going to hear from you as to who you want me to call.
Joe?
And I haven't had any contact.
I think you may talk to your assistant, sir.
Sounds like Bob didn't make any contact, though.
His assistant did.
We got calls from some of those that were called. That's why I was. Also, we should get this out of the way and move on to the topic. Are there any comments on any of the reports? Any action that you wish to take on any of the reports? Not? Let's move on then to today's topic and outline where we're going with today's topic and the procedure that we will follow. We will back up now and go back to our differential perception method and technique and have the general understanding that the purpose of this is to look at perception, that is, how minorities feel about issues and how majority feels about issues. The specific issue that we're going to look at is public criticism of community agencies. The one chosen as an example of that is the public official's criticism of the EOC specifically. We should keep in mind that what we're talking about is the methods, the techniques, and so forth as representing different meanings to different communities. George?
Yes, Carol, I want to just before going into that, those persons who are new here and maybe visiting for the first time, and some of those who have not been too active from time to time, I was wondering if you could relate to them just once more the importance of being here and the importance of their participation in this community dialogue before we get away, and some may not find it interesting today because it doesn't specifically relate to them in some way, that they should be here even though at the next meeting. Could you?
I think that's very good. Let's forget what we're discussing then for a moment and allow me to try to respond to George's observation specifically. While we may not be talking specifically about your area, about a problem that you are personally involved with, it has been the consensus amongst those attending that the value of this dialogue lies in understanding the differences between people's view of things, so that as we now talk, and as we feel, and as we live and work every day, one is more aware of the fact that it may not be the way we thought it was all the time. And for those that are participating today, we will not be participating against an individual. We will be looking at a system that allows certain things to happen as if they're normal. Specifically, we'll be talking about racism as defined and accepted by this group, meaning accepting as normal racial discrimination with all that that implies. If we see it in this context, you can participate without feeling you have to be defensive and that you're on the spot as an individual. That is not the purpose of this dialogue. Now, many times it's better that somebody else adds something to this, because that's the way I say it. Would one person add something to that if he wishes? George, would you add something that you might, Leon?
Well, I sort of think that when you say that it's not violent, it may not be violently interested to everyone here, I think in a certain sense, Carol, you're insulting people. Because you're saying to them that they are not smart enough to know that this is a serious problem we're talking about.
I did not mean to imply that, I take it.
So I think you ought to apologize.
I apologize publicly. is perhaps most important. While we might not be talking about your specific area, it is more perhaps important to understand what we are trying to cover here. I accept that, Leon. Thank you. Any other comments on that? If not, may I put up here for those who are not used to it, what we have to have in front of us so that we understand where we're going. I'm going to stop, as I will do, usually, and then open it up. I'm going to only take this privilege to put up here so that we can know where we're going. We start out with this kind of chart always. Almost put the minority on the right that time.
That ain't the way it usually
is. Yeah, we can see today, we're going to be discussing as a common problem the implications of the concept of the methods involved with criticizing a public agency. Today, we put EOC right here, criticism of EOC. We're saying that's the common problem in this community for all of us. What we're talking about is that since we start out at different positions, minorities see things a certain way because of that state, by definition. Their state is that the position will naturally determine how they define the problem. And the way they define the problem will naturally lead to the way they will seek solutions to that problem. And all of that will come out a certain way. And over here, majority, by definition again, will see things according to their experiences, their background, the way they perceive things. And that will be different from the way over here it will be perceived. Their definition of that same common problem naturally will follow their perceptions of that problem, and so will their solutions. Therefore, many times we're fighting about something and not really talking about the same thing. We're really talking about two different problems many times. What we are saying is that if we start out at two different positions, we'll end up at two different positions. We will end up with different solutions. Briefly then, if we start out with different perceptions of that problem, it only follows we'll have different solutions. Therefore, many times we're fighting over the solutions as if we really weren't talking about the same problem. And what we were really talking about is we're starting out at different positions, and naturally the solutions are going to be according to the way we perceive it. We're saying that here, all minorities won't perceive the problem exactly the same way. Neither will all the majority perceive it the same way. But in general, there will be a differential in here. It will be seen because of experiences here that are peculiar to that group and perceived differently here on a racial basis because of the perceptions here and being a member of the majority. If we're going to be meaningful about it then, today we would hope that we'd be able to discuss this, look at it with not just public officials against EOC, but what it means in general. If we assume that we are to talk about problems in an open atmosphere, then we should be able to look at this honestly with ourselves and discuss it and even suggest it, agreed upon last time, what kind of action, if we see, should be taken with regard to the general area, the general concept. That's from me. If any other wishes to elaborate on this before we go on, so that everyone has a common base of understanding, it's open for that, and it's open for regular discussion. Writing may not be the best, but
let's kind of toss this in the ring here, and then we can kind of the minority might look at it as a program that that helps the underprivileged and the poor. And the majority looks at it as a program that has been instituted to help the minority. And I think we have the differences between the minority and majority. And here is where some of the conflicts occurred. The general consensus of various communities.
All right, I might have failed to maybe define specifically enough what we're really talking about, because you use the pronoun it and you write. What we're talking about is that a series of articles came out over the past, I don't know, 2 months, I would say, involving, the first one here reads, Supervisors of Sale Poverty Program, Better Control of Anti-Poverty Funds, SOC. The supervisors asked shakeup of EOC here. EOC requests board session over criticism. Poverty war criticized by two called political. EOC answers criticism by supervisors. Supervisors deny politics involved in EOC rap. Qualified employees ask in EOC here. County EOC to get management study. What we're talking about is a series of public statements of criticism of the EOC. We're talking about the method used, how it is perceived, how these methods were perceived, what they say to the minority, what they say to the majority. Specifically, then, as an example, we're talking about this series of criticism. But we're really going further than this, because we're talking about whether or not in a community there are ways of doing this to say to minorities certain kinds of things versus saying to the majority certain kinds of things.
Tom, could I begin by trying to give two perceptions, one on each side?
You want to
give them both sides?
Welcome, you both.
Maybe I should go back to this Tom first, because I was going to ask him on which side he want me to put his perception.
I challenge you there. I think Tom and I work in the minority community as well as the majority community, and we have expressed our sincere thoughts on this. As we delve in the minority community as well as the majority, we have gained a consensus of feeling there. Now, there are, let's say, you can call this moderation, you can call this whatever it is, but we are expressing, well, this is my view. Now, there are some people that have delved less in a majority, who happen to be minority, that can give more on one side and same way on the other side. So we're not talking about this side or that side. Between there are other people who delve in both these areas, can give a perception too. So I have expressed mine. Perhaps Tom can express his. I don't know.
All right, the first Tom, would you give me both of yours again?
Yes, I think that this would destroy our whole concept of perception.
No,
here, because you can only do one. I think everybody here may have worked on one side or the other at one time, and that he should, in essence, express only that. And Tom Hahn is in a difficult position because he's a minority, but yet he may well opt to be in the majority for some reason or the other. And I think that only the majority and minority can do it only on one side.
But I think it has value, Tom, and as we discussed before, while literally that may be so, for the purpose here, if we find that we have common perceptions, then this is not working. The purpose is to get those that differentiate here. And the best way to do that is to assume that you would just give us one and hold the other later.
Get them both.
I think the idea is to throw everything in the hopper, and that's why you have all these diagrams. And then it ends up to a solution. But unless you get the everything in the hopper, you're not getting
all right, let's get some things in the hopper, then
all the areas.
Then work it out. Go ahead, Tom. Give me two perceptions.
Okay, now, the minority look upon the EOC program as a program that is designed to help the poor and the underprivileged. He doesn't look at it mainly as a program that to benefit the minority only, but they understand that the minority, the people who happen to minority ethnic background, does represent the vast majority of the underprivileged. Now, the majority, either through study or publicity or whatever the case is, has drawn a consensus that the EOC program has been designed to help mainly the minority, and that's it.
Does that capture enough what you...
Okay, now, I happen to be in... this is how I see it.
Don't add anything. If this is how you see it, that's your perception, right?
Yes. All right, now... Now, we need some extremes in other sides, too.
This stuff.
All right.
But outside now.
All right. So I was addressing myself to the criticism as contained in the article you read. Not the program itself.
Good point.
All right. Now, I'll just give one side, since by definition, that's all I can do. I'll say that many people look at the criticism as an attempt to vitiate the program, to weaken the program. And it's just another example of the lack of concern that the San Diego power structure has actually with the poor. It's an attempt to gain control of the program so that the old boondaggling can go along.
You give me three specific elements: lack of concern and control.
Yeah.
Got that, Danny? Maybe it's separate. Desire to control.
Yeah. But I think Kelly has said desire to control. Well, you have to imply what the reason.
Okay.
Tom, are you finished?
Go ahead.
Well, if he doesn't deal with the quick and do the program.
I'm limited to talking on one side, Bill. You know. So, that's what I'm trying to say. From that side, what it looks like. What's happening here is we got an EOC program going that's trying to help poor people, and now the local power structure is trying to horn in on it. And the reason is that they are not concerned with helping poor people.
Oh, I see.
They are actually concerned with controlling these federal funds that come down. Just the same old thing again. Now, understand, I'm trying to say this the way that you get it from one point of view. Yeah.
To the other side, we're objective. Go ahead.
Well, how come you don't let me be objective?
Go ahead. Does that capture? We had lack of concern up here.
Yeah.
Desire to control the federal funds.
Yeah.
That captures your idea.
Could this
from that one side over there? That one side.
In the thinking of Tom on that, I have to ask Tom this question here. Then, so that because. Basically, poor people don't know what they need themselves, but the power structure does.
You want to add a perception?
No, he was stating there that because they want to control funds, and someone said, well, why would they want to do this? Just for play football with it or what? I mean, I was wondering if you could add, and I thought that was a part of your implication.
If we are clear now.
Why would they just want to control the funds? I mean,
The old pork barrel thing. They want to get the money to come through local channels so that, the way federal funds usually, in our view.
So that they can what? I mean,
profit from it.
Okay, that's what I want. I wanted to come out with why they would want it.
Okay, let's make that another perception as yours, George.
Okay.
Say, give me that perception.
Well, mine was basically that the poor people feel that the power structure would want to control the fund because they know more what to do for the poor than the poor know what's needed for themselves. Now, that's the perception I have of the control.
Your perception of a white perception?
No, not of a white perception, but of a power structure type perception. We all make.
But it would be on the other side.
Put it on the other side.
Well, then
no, it wouldn't be on the other side. It'd be on the minority side because I don't think maybe majorities would never accept that as a reason why they would ever want to control.
No, I'm saying put it on the other side. I will say the same thing you
just. Oh, okay. Okay.
I tried to capture that.
That you're not on the right side.
This is on this side.
Well, on both sides. He wants to stay.
Now we can get back to what we were talking about. Suppose it does occur on both sides. Should it be up here or not?
Sure.
Yeah.
Got it back? Mm-hmm. Okay. Tom, John.
I just wanted to throw in one is a resistance to change. That is a in the criticism there is a resistance to change. The people handling poor people handling funds and so forth.
That represents
a minority view.
Yeah. Resistance to change. They are accusing the other side.
I think they could be on both sides.
No.
You're saying that they are actually accusing the other side of resisting change.
No, that the other side is resisting change.
The power structure is resisting change, and not the minority
perceives
it to be.
Yeah, I think that's the answer.
But Mr. Chairman,
yes,
isn't the national structure of the whole program designed around the power structure controlling funds?
Well, I can't answer the question. You have to give me your perception of it.
Well, I'm giving you the national picture. The poverty program was designed around power structure control. You can't get any program through unless you come through the power structure.
See, that may be so
that's
as a
right.
fact, but we're not talking about
that's
facts
right.
like
that's
that.
That's his perception of it, Carol.
Okay,
no,
give me
that
your that as give me that as your
perception.
Our structure
controls the
funds.
Yeah,
but the whole deck is stacked, Carol. Yeah, but in the
but
point
but
of
this,
I
have
that,
to get his perception.
That's
there.
What he just
I'm
not
telling
to
you now. I'm telling you now. That's the national design of the program. Is to be controlled by the so-called power structure.
Yeah. My question is, which side that should go on, Carol?
No,
I know he's saying that. I'm wondering, is that your perception of it, or do you think that's the perception of whites? That's what I'm talking about. Speaking of,
no,
I don't think that's his perception as a minority.
He said
he made a statement of fact about the majority and about the way the system is set up.
Now you're pointing to something else. You mean my conclusion would be different?
Okay, that's that one.
But we're dealing on perceptions now.
Yeah.
Is that your perception?
It is my perception.
That's the part of
my
program.
It might be a little different than that.
Are run by, how did you want it? National? By design, the national poverty programs are controlled by local?
No,
by the power.
No, by the power.
Okay.
Where is it? Local, national, where is it?
By power structure. That capture your perception?
Yeah, then this is the grid. This is the hassle, the tangle in Congress now.
Okay.
About the old program.
Mike, what I meant to say on that
the poor are irresponsible, that maybe it be the minority, because the poor, they don't handle any funds at all.
Oh, your perception in the parallel at number five would be minority irresponsible. Yes. Got that, Dyson?
Carol, I still think that there are two things that we have to do. It gets really down to the problem definition of what we're talking about, which, even though these other things are pertinent, we are talking about the way the criticism was leveled at the local EOC, not really the whole poverty program as such. We all will have perceptions of that. And then I think that even though I might be been criticized black on the inside and white on the outside, that or vice however it goes, I think that if I'm going to give something, it's going to have to be a majority opinion, even though I can maybe have a certain degree of understanding. And when Reverend Osley speaks, he might speak because of reaction or his perception of majority, but I think should represent the minority, and so we can see what's happening here. Now, when I am going to say something, is I have some very specific things with regard to the definition of the problem we have today. These are not my personal feelings, except what I have heard in the white community. Now, of this, just last week,
just the perception.
Just the perception having to do with the criticism of the EOC program. What this has brought forth was the comment that you see there is no program that can really help them if they run it.
Oh, I'm on the other side.
That's majority.
That's number five.
It says doomed to failure if they they run it. Yeah. That thing has more than just irresponsibility.
The word capability, is that
no talent?
No talent.
Incapable.
Knowledge.
Well,
incapable.
Could you amplify that? What do you mean by they run it? Who are we talking about?
Well,
the poor.
The poor is what she was speaking of when she really gave it to me.
The poor is incompetent. Is that what you're?
That's right. And anything that the poor would have a hand in would be doomed.
Just put incapable.
I think that'll.
And the next one she poured in, and this will be all I'll contribute, is that it has also proved the incapability of anyone with sociological background to really be able to manage the hardcore business type approach that you've got to have in this type program.
Management. Versus,
is that almost the same as that, the irresponsibility of liberals?
No.
It's not quite the same.
But I don't know.
Social workers over trained administrators. This is actually what she's
saying. How do you get the heart out of the program?
Right.
Can anyone care about the administrative
administration? All right, hold it a second. If this captures enough, and Daniel, would you get the rest of this? Incapability of social workers to run the program.
Right.
People with sociology background.
Yes, Tom. Did you get any way she said that?
Yeah. I'd like to get Joe on the other side, if I may. It would come under business as usual with an A and B. A would be elimination of the minority disadvantage from policymaking.
Business as usual. A is what?
Elimination of the disadvantaged minority for policy making positions.
Did you get that, Daniel?
And B would be the elimination of people who really want to help us from the administrative level, which would mean the social worker.
And then other non-minority people.
Right.
the elimination of other minority people diagnosed who really are committed to help.
The job to help.
Committed to help. And qualified?
Right.
Carol, are we saying if this relates to the news releases regarding the ELC?
Yes, sir. Yes. All of these do except the first one. This was really on the program. This was our perception of the program. And I indicated that after it was pointed out, that this really is in terms of what the program is for. But it relates, it's tied in with it. You are disagreeing with that, I take it, Bill.
Well, I think what we have here are perceptions of the program and not what we're here to talk about. I think the whole thing is a perception of how people view the poverty movement.
No. How they view the articles. How they interpret the articles.
So they interpret the articles just to pick out one that saying
to them,
the power is resisting, power structure is resisting change. They're saying that the criticism indicates that by design, this is another example of a national poverty program being controlled through the power structure. Through the articles, they're saying that it's a desire on the part of public officials to control the federal funds.
Is everyone good? Carol, you're earmarking everything. You're towards the articles itself. Now, you have to realize that not everybody reads those articles. Some people don't even realize the contents of these articles. Now, we're talking about two as well as the article. I feel that we should is the program in itself. Perhaps we can localize it here locally, but the article, many people have not read the article.
Well, that may be a statement of fact. However, what we have to do is not say we're talking about the programs as such, for today's topic is specifically the reactions of the criticisms to the program. Now, we might should not have had that as a topic, but today that was agreed upon to be the topic, so I have to, as the chair, focus it on that. Whether the programs are valid or not is not important. What we're talking about is the criticism of them.
Would you refresh our memory as to what the criticisms were that were in those articles?
Sure, after I get this, Alan.
I read the articles and the answers to the criticism, and I think that a lot of good comes out of constructive criticism.
Have to kind of shorten you, so I focus you in on.
Perception.
Back to perception. Shall I get it down? Do you want it as a perception?
I'm white. I'm poor, so I guess you can put me on the majority side.
Because you're poor, because you're white.
Well, both. Because most people are poor, most people are white. So I guess I go on the majority side. But I think a lot of each of us are subject to criticism. Some of it constructive, and constructive criticism is helpful to the minority, and it's helpful to the majority, in my opinion. Now, no one else has discussed it with me. I just read the articles, and what the public officials said, I read the answers that the other side said, and I think it makes both sides improve themselves.
So that criticism we're talking about today did good, you think?
That's in my opinion, for both sides.
It was constructive, you said.
Constructive.
Oh, criticism was constructive.
In my opinion, yes. Yeah.
That's good. Your opinion. Was that that diagnosis?
Yes.
Yes. Was constructive. John.
Carol, my crit, and he just reminded, Councilman Hitt just reminded me, my perception was that the criticism was poor, ill-timed, and bad.
Got that, Daniel? Poor, ill-timed, your word?
Yeah, and bad.
It created further apathy.
Oh, good.
All right, we'll have the Secretary continue. Leon.
I've gotten this from many sources. It's going to be kind of a little bit of an explanation, but I think the evidence will be evident. Many people think that there's an effort on the part of local authorities generally to gain control of the poverty program, but the reason for gaining control is really to maintain the status quo so that no real and substantial and effective change will take place. And of course, I'm not saying this is true in San Diego particularly, but true throughout the country, and in some parts of the country more particularly. So I would say to maintain the status quo, essentially.
So we've got a few others. Are there any more? Mary?
And then conception, I guess, is an alternate to the EOC board that was perhaps expressed by some board members that criticism was leveled and spread to the public before it was directed to the board itself, before the board had a chance to act on criticism. And so therefore that method was somewhat...
All right. Do you want to phrase that direct as a procedure?
The procedure, in other words, the board felt that they were bypassed in this criticism, that it went to the general public before it went to them.
Procedure poor, procedure bad.
Criticism is no.
It doesn't matter if she gives me bad at her perception, I put it over here. That's the rules you set up. That's right. Now that's what you have to do. Yeah,
but that's how Mary feels. That's how it is.
Procedure.
That's, I think, a perception by many EOC members.
But it doesn't matter. She's giving me that as perception. So we took it up. Perception was procedure incorrect, improper, or how do you want me to put it? You tell me, Mary.
Procedure bypass
board, EOC board. Channel.
Channel. Proper, yeah, normal channels.
Bypass
normal channels.
Yeah. May I make an observation?
Yeah.
Now, if you're going to keep your dichotomy meaningful, you're going to let, Mary's going to have to flip for that to Joe, and let Joe say it, because actually, that has to be on the other side.
That's right.
You're in the same bag you were in when I tried to give earlier, two sides. I have to say one. Actually, we ought to, all the blacks are going to sit on this side of the room. The white ones are going there. Because I wanted to say something on this majority side, I'd have to tell Bill and let him say it. Or else the thing won't make sense.
I'll take yours over here, Tom, as I did Tom over here. But Mary, I have to ask the person saying it, you see, ultimately. Mary, how do you want that perception?
I myself feel that perception could go on both sides.
Oh, all right.
I've heard it from both sides.
All right. Then,
procedure.
You got that? It goes on both sides. What I've just done is I have to ask the person who's giving that perception.
Another observation, Carol, and I know Tom is probably in a dilemma, but I think we are assuming that all of the perceptions on a minority side will be good, acceptable, and that it's attacking the system, and that on the other side it's going to be same old business as usual, status quo. It simply means that I think that there are whites in this room who have empathy and really can articulate a perception that I ought to have. But whatever they say ought to be put on either one side or the other in order to keep our thing going.
I suggest a device for doing this. That either I or Tom McJunkins can make a suggestion and propose it to be minority or majority. If I offer it, I ask Tom, will you validate it? If Tom asks it, he asks me as a majority person to validate it, and then we have it on. I think we should permit the thought process to proceed. Mary can give the majority on what happened last night. I'll give the minority.
You don't mind.
Let's not get bogged down to
a minority.
Let's do it as it comes along.
What I was saying, George, I think you're right, but I think if you have a majority, see the same thing I see as a minority. It still needs to be a majority viewpoint. It still needs to be on the majority side as a majority viewpoint.
No question of
that. I think we're making the point. And you don't have to have it validated. This is what I'm saying. If you feel it, if you say that this is a desire to control the federal funds, and this is how you feel it, then it's a majority viewpoint. And that's
if I'm doing it in that role, I'm still coming back and saying I think Tom McJunkins can get an idea of it. Okay. As to how the majority people feel about something, and we should let him get it recorded and not say, Tom, you can't think that way, And if it has to be validated, he asked me, well, I, as a majority person, say that this is what I think. And if I agree, I do think that way, then it's listed as a majority idea, even though Tom first said it.
Need two more categories. Minority possessing the majority and majority possessing the minority, you got it made.
Well, rather than proliferate categories, because when you begin to get numbers like that, there's possible combinations that get lost in it. Seems to be one of the easiest things to do, and one of the things which needs, and we have spoken about at other times, was the identity of the person making that suggestion, whether that person is, that is, what you are endeavoring to do, it seems to me, is to have a majority person which gives a perception of one or the other of both of these positions, and to identify that number one was presented by Mr. Hahn, who was a minority person, by the definition that he is, whatever his particular extraction is. Number two is made by whoever made that, and if that's a, so that each one you can go down the line and you can see that how many minorities have offered suggestions on whatever side they have, and majorities and so forth. And this also, it seems to me, is can get to another point, because as you have the numbers now, you have, I have a hard time going back over all those and to see if by and large 90% of those contributions have all come from minorities. That is, by number, rather than to say we've got a fairly even balance, that half those suggestions by identity can be made minority and half majority. I'm simply suggesting another axis as you go along, that one is a minority or majority, and then each can speak for the other. I would not want to be confined by saying that, you know, that I don't have a perception of what a minority viewpoint is, or I have empathy toward it. I try to articulate one that I've heard. For either side, I identify what side I want it to be put on, and by definition, I'm going to be one or the other of those by my heritage.
All right, maybe we can get out of this bind and by two things, it seems to me. We can take both of these suggestions and, as they come up, do that, and then get it on the board that way, and not get bogged down in this, and simply if necessary, I'm not sure saying that it is, borrowing Glenn's ideas, to put a little M or a little N as we go along. I think that's another way to handle it. But if we get bogged down in this, we're going to get bogged down in the...
Carol, I'm inclined to think that we, by trying to identify the contributor with either the majority or minority, it really makes it much more difficult. All we're trying to do is get some reasonable, valid perception from... It's really a hypothesis of what we think other people think.
Yeah.
And that's about the best we can do, and these perceptions are checked. I may have a perception of what I think a minority people might feel, and if I stated that, there are minority people here and say, well, hell no, we don't really feel that way, at least those of us who are here don't.
That's what I meant by when it's...
Yeah, and I think it's best to keep the thing simple and recognize that it's speculative at best, but we think that there's enough people around here who know what's going on to validate some of these perceptions.
All right, then let me see if we can move on here and not get bogged down. A reaction came back this week. I think this is the time to say it. We got a reaction from members who've been attending this, and I think it's valid that this is a majority perception of our performance here. Good feedback. That they come sometimes to hear, just to sit here, because this side of it talks more than the other. And that they don't really get a chance sometimes to express their perception. I think that's valid. Now, why don't we simply ask some individuals, do they wish to now give us a perception? Police department, what about it? Have any perceptions you'd like to get up there? No, I see.
Well, my immediate reaction, as I could see the news articles, was why wasn't the quote criticism or constructive or not directed towards the Economic Opportunities Commission and the people who run it before it went to the press? In other words,
all right, this one here, that Mayor Foote bypasses the
Board is that?
That was the first thing that came to my mind when I left.
Any other perception? Inspector Gore. Welfare department?
No. I would like to have a perception of the people here who made the criticism. What happened to you?
The graph also doesn't live in the back.
Mr. Orson? John?
Well, yeah, I'm looking for comments.
Is this a perception?
No. I'm always fearful of making any comments. You and the leadership of the so-called minority, and incidentally, I am a member of the minority, probably the smallest minority in the community. I'm of Dutch ancestry. And look around you and find out how many people there are of Dutch ancestry about you. I'm poor, and I had my finger upon this very closely because of association with county government that administers the welfare program and all the corrective programs. And I know what the vast cost is, and I have been supported by the so-called minority community, and I think I still am by those of you who vote in the minority community over the years. Now, my concern is, and I'm so grateful for you for saying what you did, the End Poverty Program came as a responsibility of local government to administer. And there are only 15 states, I believe, where we have such groups as here. Otherwise, it's administered completely by local government. Isn't that about the statistic 15 or 16, I believe, where we have such organizations as this? Most of the problem with individuals, I mean problems of poverty, come from the district within the county that it has been my privilege to serve for these last 13 years. And I feel a very deep concern. And I know that when I finish speaking here, I'll be dismissed with the benediction by whoever is in charge. Carol today, Dr. Graham, the last meeting I attended, well, you don't understand us and our problem. Well, the heck I don't, because I have parallel problems right down the line with you. I'm so grateful to you for saying that this total program is the responsibility of county government. We did not seek, nor do we seek now at any time, to maintain a power structure or an establishment that controls this. We created, and no one else, through the county council's office, the corporate group Economic Opportunity Commission, to handle this responsibility in this community. After long and painful struggles there was set up the structure of organization there. I served as the treasurer for the first 2.5 years. I was bumped from that job because of my constant disapproval of our fiscal management of the Economic Opportunity Commission. And I'll say that over and over and over again with the greatest of emphasis, and I'm still very critical of that concept that controls it, because the money does not get out into the hands of the people who are to be served under this fine enterprise conceived by the Congress. I know, too, that and this is from conversations held on two different occasions, one at her home in Portland in August, and the other by telephone with Mrs. Green, the congresswoman from Oregon, who put the amendments on to the program, and the consensus of opinion of all of the congressmen, including my cousin Bob Wilson, who is on completely on the other side of the fence with me, and Van Dierlin, that we'll have no bill out of Congress unless we attach those amendments. And the amendments simply say that if the operation is run contrary to the best interest of the federal government, in other words, if they don't match up somewhat the operation of public welfare, public assistance, that they will of necessity be put back into the hands of local government. Now, with that in mind, the board's two delegates to the Economic Opportunity Commission, Mr. Dent and myself, were delegated by our board to give a report. And after a long investigation, we did put on paper how we felt about what was taking place. I still feel that same way about some of the projects we have, where The last one is the leadership training program just announced a few weeks ago, where over half the total amount of the money involved goes to the administration of it. Well, what are we talking about anyway? Is that helping the poor any? Is that giving visions of new leadership, a new life to these young people who need it so desperately?
Well, let me just stop right there. I don't want to get into the specific criticisms of the validity of them.
Well, I want to dissipate in everybody's mind. There's no disposition on the part of the county, and I'm sure the two councilmen who are here today share it, to take over the Economic Opportunity Commission's function. We want it to work, but we want it to work in the interest that it was conceived, to help the poor to find a better life for themselves. It's as simple to say as that.
Well, maybe, let's see, you came in a little late. Maybe I should go back and try to say what we're really doing. We're not here really to criticize you or you or you or anybody, as you might think so. We're here really to say, regardless of the validity of the criticism, that's the content, we're not really concerned with that here. That is not our purpose. Our purpose, outlined earlier, is to look at what that says to the majority community, as we got perceptions over here, and look at what it says, the way it was done, what it says to the minority community.
Maybe I'm saying, I think that's precisely what he addressed himself to. Now,
exactly,
two things
you're
said
discussing
was,
the very thing, Carol, and I've gotten so weary with attending dialogues that it's just too taxing to do, to listen to endless discussion. We always go around the same doggone circle, and we come out with the dismissal of everybody who's holding public office as being one of the power structure, and we have no control whatever except to dish out the local taxpayers' money to support this thing, and we're in it over our heads. You know that one project alone, the Jobs Now project, is currently in operation with a $40,000 cash contribution from the county. It went into effect with about $35,000 a couple of years ago. And if ever there was an enterprise that we held to the principle of it being administered by the poor and the unskilled, even to the management, and we've gotten into hot water on that. So there's no disposition for us to take over and run any program any time. And if you can start from that premise, we're searching to get people who can run it properly and administer it in a fashion by organization and otherwise, so that the poor people get the money and get the inspiration for a better life. It's as simple to say as that. And you can't put your finger on one single act of our group, or I'm sure the city council, where we haven't been completely cooperative in that pattern.
That's a perception of
administrative.
But I just get three perceptions that he gave us. Number one, he said that this criticism was an attempt to ensure that the money gets to the actual poor. That's the first thing he said.
Did you get that, Doug?
Will he accept these?
Our machine might not be working yet. We're going to test it here before we get that one out. Tom, if you hold up a second.
Okay, let me talk while I'm hot.
Yeah, right.
No, hold on a second. Program would be continued.
And I think number three, he said, it was an attempt to husband the county's money, since the county does have to contribute. So it was carrying out their obligation to handle the county's monies in some sort of economic way. I think
that's right.
Those were the so, and I think those belong on the majority side.
Yes. All right.
Mr. Chairman.
I'm going to ask Tom to repeat those because I abbreviated here, just as he said them again, so you can be sure we've got them accurately.
All right. If you will be sure that this king,
he says that he has concurred that.
Yes, sure.
All right. Tom, now,
this is what I hear him say.
Right.
That number one, it was an attempt to, the criticism is what we're talking about. It was an attempt to ensure that the money in the OC program gets to the actual poor instead of the intermediate level. Number two, it was an attempt to ensure that the program will be continued since there's a threat in the program on the national level. And number three, they were carrying out their obligation to husband the county's money.
We got that back. It's back against
the position.
All right.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
In all due respect to the audience and the news media, which is here, which seems to pick up most of the things that are said, and the one example which was cited, I have to react to that because the news media would take that as a reaction of what's happening. And again, we get back in this bag, it's not really happening, but it's what was said and what people read and they interpret it as really happening. And that is the example cited by the supervisor of the leadership training program, which I am a member of the board. They have a total of four administrators. The approximate budget is somewhere around $31,000. That is a 180-something thousand or 90-something thousand dollar program, if I'm correct at this time, right, Jack? That is highly far from being half of the administrative cost, and the press has to make this be known because I don't want people to read into something that is not true. That is a very poor example of how administrative cost is taking up the total half of the budget. Now, there may be programs, I can't argue them, but that specific one is invalid.
May I also second that, since I'm also on that board?
All right, let's see if the clarification here is as the example you were saying of what the supervisor said, just as an example.
That's our newspaper said before we discussed about what people read into.
All right. I don't have my report. The budget that you turned into our board, I turned over to the newspapers, and it does indicate that approximately half of the money in the total program goes to these top men.
He's talking about one specific.
That's all right. I still want my perception listed as what he stated as to be a different perception of myself, to be untrue, and people would read in it to be true. So regardless of what, we don't have to debate it. He made a statement, and I'm making one, so they both have to be regarded.
They don't belong on that board, though.
No, they don't.
I didn't take that as a perception. I took that as clarification of his
I think he's speaking of the overall budget.
No, he specifically stated leadership training in his statement.
That's correct.
He said, ask him.
That's the last and most flagrant example.
I think we're now on a point of fact. It was used by Mr. Austin as an illustration.
Right.
We're requesting the press not to quote either Supervisor Austin or George Stevens until the facts are checked.
Fine.
And then go back to our dialogue.
Right. George, isn't that what you're saying?
Yes, please.
Okay.
If it's going to be read one way, let's clarify that way, but let's not read it all if it's not accepted as a true fact at this time.
All right. Are there any other perceptions? We should go to the next point here, the next level here, as we agreed upon. Now we have those perceptions, look at them, and then our diagram, the second part, is suggested directions for solutions or actions. Are there any other perceptions that we should get on the board?
I have one more as a result of Mr. Brand's statement that the majority or whoever they might be are ill-informed.
Where should that be? On what side?
A minority perception.
Did you get that, Dagny? That on the minority side, majority ill-informed.
That Joe?
Minority? There's the majority
ill-informed. In what respect, Mr. Chairman, would he?
Report.
Well,
the separation,
Okay.
I have to refer it back.
No, he says in what respect?
I will say, I have to refer it back to what was in the article. And one program that was cited in the article, I'll refer back to the article, not to the statement today.
Well, in ignorance of the fact that stated in the article, what is that fact?
Well,
He's trying to say, what are you referring to? You mean on all programs or the budget?
I mean, it's training again in the article.
So right. I expect leadership training was the thing that we were, that happened in his conversation.
That happened in the article.
These perceptions.
That was in the article.
Stating what, I mean, I'm still not clear what's there.
Well, let me see if I can help Joel. You're saying that regardless of what it is, these articles reflect
right. What? The Board of Supervisors that responded, hard work,
ill-informed.
On
the ELC.
Right.
Is that...
You're taking consideration results also, you see. You're taking consideration of results. If the results cannot equal the the overall administrative program, then it is true that the money was taken from administration.
He's saying that's his perception.
Regardless of that.
He's saying his perception is that they were ill-informed on the ELC program, regardless. I saw one other hand here before we...
I don't know if you can call this a minority or majority perception thing, but...
You call it another category?
Well, you can call it another category. It seems to me that there is something somewhat in common within this thing that we're talking about, and that the expectation that the programs will, for the most part, be administered by the pool, and the benefits will go almost directly to the pool, and yet at the same time, we're demanding competence. First-class type administration, you know, like we get at county level or city level, something like this. And the poor man who really doesn't have the skills, doesn't know how to run a program like that. If you get someone from the county or the city or from some other place who does know how, you got to pay a comparable or sensible salary. So you see, they're kind of mutually exclusive. To some extent, and I think that this ought to be taken into consideration when we're talking about who's going to run the programs and the results we expect to get. Administration is not high in private industry. Administrators, competent administrators, get a good salary, and this is because they're able to do things in effective ways that save ultimately. You know, you get your job done more effectively. It doesn't seem to me that it's...
Can you put that
in context? It seems to me that it's in order to pay for good administration, provided you get it. Or, if you want administration by poor, then we should let the program be run less well than we'd like to have them run. This is sort of what I'm trying to say. And how to put it in the form of a perception, I don't know.
But that's right.
And the way I see is majority perception that the criticisms were good because it is necessary to have people with management skills handle the financial aspect of these programs for the good purposes as stated.
I'm back to perception at this time is that those people do not exist.
Don't go jumping the opposite side. I'm saying that as a majority person, I'm saying the criticism was good because it brings out the fact that we must have capable management people in these programs. And at the moment, I'm not concerned about people at all. I'm only saying it brings out that there it was criticism. As a majority person, I think it is appropriate that we bring out the fact that there must be good management people in the administration of these programs. I thought that's what Leland was.
The same thing Alan Hitt said, though, is that the criticism was constructive criticism.
But I was narrowing it down to an additional point. I mean, yes, it is constructive criticism, and narrowed down the point that came through to me was it was pointing out the need for skilled management people as a appropriate minor part of the program.
Leon, does that capture what you were saying?
Well, except that I'm saying that if you want competent management, you got to pay for it, and then you can't criticize too much the cost of administration.
Now you're giving argumentation on
perception.
But I have to ask him, are you capturing his perception?
Okay.
And I think you two have
to capture his perception. He gave it as a shot at you,
but he was giving Leon.
And Leon can't give that to you.
So you agree with George that that's your perception? That's all I'm trying to find out.
Yes, with the additional thing that, well, yes.
Mr. Chairman, I think we should move into solutions. If this, I mean, to get out of this bind, you will go into a solution.
Right.
This is a management.
We're
I have to get this perception, though.
All right. I don't know what that is.
Huxley? I'm Dagny? George, would you repeat again?
That the criticism was helpful because it was pointing out the need for skilled management people in a major program of this type.
Beyond? Division? You want to add something else to it?
That's not what I'm saying is that you have to, if you want this, then you got to pay. You see,
there was a dichotomy. There was a dual criticism, Carol, in one statement, really. It's really, and this is why George is saying one thing and Leon is saying another here. One is saying we must have good administrators, and the other is saying yes. Leon is saying yes, but you must pay for them. And the other guy said, on the other hand, we're paying too much to administrators, and we should give more money to the poor.
That's two things for you.
And also, their criticism is not in line with their stated goals.
Right.
That's
contradicted to the first statement here.
Right.
You contradicted by saying there must be good administrators. That's why it should be returned back to possibly to government.
You missed the point entirely. I think that to handle a group of 35 youngsters and leadership training possibilities, it doesn't take this overstaffed group. Have you used any yardsticks that are acceptable to industry or to public administration schools or county with respect to setting that up?
You wouldn't think of numbers. You're thinking of competent people, not numbers of people. I thought you were thinking of competent administrators.
Well, the numbers are very important because all
of
those
companies you don't see any articles.
Are taking
may I interrupt? I bet you gave us another perception, though, that I should get down. You said that it does not take...
We're overstaffed with expensive people.
But that's the right
there. Meet the problem.
The majority overstaffed with expensive people.
To meet the problem.
To meet the problem. The last one.
My perception of the situation, I think it involves the efficiency of the program. One group is saying, actually, we're not efficient because we're overstaffed and we're not using our money well. Another group is saying, well, to get good efficiency, you have to have highly qualified people.
So your perception?
So my perception on this particular situation is that you have to have highly qualified people to get maintain efficiency. I think the key is efficiency of the program.
Okay. Now let's stop that. Yeah, Glenn?
Seems to me that there was a major, at least as I heard Supervisor Austin, there was a main thing which he said, which I think gets as part of what the differential perception is. He, at least as I heard him, he partly said, I'm sort of sick and tired of going to meetings all the time and defending this as if I were in charge of a program, if there's an establishment in charge of a program, when I'm not. And if I were, certain things would happen. I've been trying to really be in charge, and I've had a hard time doing that. So that part of the perception is that, at least as the minority sees it, there is a power structure as exemplified by DeGraff Austin in charge of something. There is a supervisor who says, but I'm not in charge of it at all. If I were, I sure, and I've been trying to be, and it was really, as I heard him pick it up and say, that's the way it was intended to be. There are only a few places that aren't really with people like me in charge, that we're kind of a different breed here.
As a minority, I agree with that perception.
I tried to catch some elements to recall for you. Yeah. Can you now just pick up, and we'll ask him if these were his perceptions, and then end it. Tired of attending dialogue meetings.
Well, tired in the sense that, at least as I hear him, he keeps saying there is a closed mind as I keep approaching these things. You see it one way, and you won't get to see it my way.
But well, I'm trying to get
it, I think, is the word you're looking for. Yeah.
Shall we get them down, Ben, so she can get them as?
I'm not sure that my words about this are that crucial. Mainly the point is that I hear him saying that at heart, I am in a way being accused of being in charge of something that I'm not in charge of.
Okay, hold. Okay. Let's ask him. Would you write that down just for a second, and we can ask
the supervisor, is that also one of the things he said or presented?
Now, let me say it over. I don't think you have it quite correct. Number one, I'm weary of attending endless discussions which come to no constructive conclusion.
Fine. Right there. Did you get that, Jason? I crossed out of the glass.
Okay. Now, shall we then say that if at this point
you've got some more?
Oh, who?
Could I just ask for a little
point of clarification?
Clarification. Is it that come to no conclusion? Is it because the conclusion is predetermined?
Well, I know you have to give that as a perception, I suspect.
Well, that's
him. No, I couldn't give it as a perception. Right. I have to ask him,
all
is
right.
The conclusion already determined, and when these meetings do not come to that conclusion that you wish to see happen, therefore the meetings are valueless? Is that kind of, what conclusion should they come to that would be a meaningful conclusion?
Take some definite action and bring out a comprehensive program as a result that makes sense.
We are accepting in public government the actual training of the apprenticeship training
in skills of these young people involved, not this top heavy expensive staff.
Yes.
And we're putting out our money in these directions, and we want to know something about their effectiveness.
Yes, Mr. Austin, get away from leadership training then. Just the overall thing, would it be valid to say then that with something in mind that this is the program that would be meaningful in your perception that they should have, and if through our discussions or dialogues or through their planning they do not come up with a program, then whatever leads to that would be kind of spinning our wheels. We're tired of talking about things that don't come up to an expectation of what would be satisfied by you meaning.
Well, that's a very significant question she's asking here, because I'm wondering too, what is the shortcoming of the program that he sees as a necessity to do this? Now, he said administration. Well, does that mean cut back on the staff, cut back on the payment, or what would be more effective? What would you see that they could do to come up to your standards, and would just not be dialogue?
I think we're getting down to the concrete results.
Well, I think we are really now down to where we direction for action is down to me, and let's pick it up there then.
I would like to say this. Now, I think that we're holding some well, from what I have heard from both sides, to a specific case in the state of Mississippi. They had the Senate Investigating Committee down on the poverty program that came out of the same discussion that we're in now, but they want to know the results. Said we have good administration. Well, good administration gives good results. From the administration of the program, whether it's leadership training or auto mechanics, from that budget, that staff, that school, that should come out of that school people that are reasonable and can actually execute what they have been taught. Now, they've said in San Diego about leadership training school that all came out of leadership training school with black power advocates. I mean, this is the whole thing in a nutshell. We want to hold it back, but we're here in a dialogue, and we might as well get it clear. This is the thing that I heard from both sides, both white and black. That's the only thing that we can point to from the leadership training school is a bunch of black power advocates and rabble rousers. Now, this is the problem. This is what I say. Now, if we can show that the staff administration of this particular program gave to us people that, if you can point to X, there's a man in a shop over here on a lathe machine, a man over here in a bank teller or something. I don't know what the program was designed to do. But I do know if you're in a program training people, that somebody should come out of that program that can execute some of the things that's been taught. We had in the master committee of jobs a young man who came in the other morning, who was a man of poverty stricken with a bunch of children. And now he can say out of the training that he had,
He's now prepared as a lead operator, and now he's going into drafting and so forth. Well, this is the result that I think that not only is this program, I think any program should give. We have all types of things all over the city of San Diego. But 90% of the things you can find, they are staff people. And this is the criticism. It's in the minds of the whole nation on this whole poverty program.
I wish you'd put that into production.
Those remarks are very well taken.
I wish you'd put that into
production. Mr. Chairman? Put measurement of the effectiveness of these programs. The only one that I know about is the, I forget what it was called, the cadet program of Johnson and the Urban League, where we were able to measure from these more than 300 young people who were GIF training a motivation and the capacity to take civil service examinations and so on, where 18 of them became employed by public agencies. Now, if we measure the effectiveness of these various programs by some such project as, what are they doing when they get finished with it?
Mr. Chairman?
Sure.
This again goes back to the statement of misinformed. This is where we are again. This is a part of one of those concepts that was perceived. This is misinformed information. I could go down 21 people and name you today very constructively what they are doing now. And some of this is very much amaze you, and they're not black power advocates. I'm not going to elaborate on it now. But it goes back to another point, too, here, which was pointed out before about the, the programs that were should be, well, there was a statement in one of the articles about the programs where money should be going versus where they are going, which are not constructive. And some of the programs that were named, for an example, were programs which were not even under ELC. That's misinformation given to the community. One of those programs named were NYC in the article. That's misinformation. You could not take money from a particular program that they named and put it under NYC because they came from two different funding agencies. That was in the article. But now in the leadership trainings, I'd like you to know that four of those young people are now at State College doing their work there. One of the young people became a supervisor in the leadership program. There are three of them at this time that are supervisors of rehabilitation programs with the county rehabilitation aid, working at the prison camp. They are doing constructive work now. How they wear their hair is a different situation.
Well, on the first floor here at the administration. Mr. Chairman, I don't know whether it's reacting to what I said, and I understand what the community is saying, what gave rise to some of these articles.
All right.
What the black community and the white community are saying.
They're misinformed then. It's not interpretation. He stated clearly. That was no misinformation.
George's point is that, right or wrong, he's saying that from his perception, from checking, he is saying that that perception we put up there in terms of misinformation covers what he just said.
Right.
That's
yeah.
what he is really saying.
Now, the way to refute the article to get the article clear is to give a rebuttal.
We've
already shown specifics.
We're going to get to that in just a minute.
This is going to clear up the whole atmosphere in the community.
We're going to get to that, Jim, in just a minute. Good.
I want to set the record straight here. This is descending into a debate between certain people and Mr. Austin regarding the Merit Board's Leadership Training Program. Let's get the thing clear. The Board of Supervisors on this particular program unanimously, including Mr. Austin, agreed for the county to participate in this program. We are making the arrangements. There's some kind of an implication here that Board of Supervisors in its entirety has some way or other come out and condemned the leadership training program. This is not true. Mr. Austin did ask questions when the program first came before the board about 2 months ago, and he said he'd like to see their budget. The board approved the participation. The budget was brought in. It was filed. Mr. Austin reviewed this report, but the Board of Supervisors approved the program and his participation. Let's get that clear.
All right, let's see if we can move on now and get to something under the statement of a problem. I have a hunch that we ought to go down and capture what was just said and then go back if necessary and redefine the problem. First, Reverend Oster has just said that what we need before we can really look at these two differences of facts or not facts, Paul and George, is What we put under that in our initial meeting is called comprehensive input of data. Now that's the way we agreed here to say it. So one of the actions here we're saying, and then we ought to talk about how we're going to do this on this specific instance, is comprehensive input of data. Now when we discuss that, we simply meant all pertinent data, all facts should first be obtained, then analysis made from that, and all of this released to the press. What we're saying, right or wrong, good or bad, is that the perceptual differences this morning revealed that on one side it is felt they were not the facts. On the other side, it's felt that it is a fact. Now the only way we're going to do it is find out what the facts are. Now can we stop there then and get to what we've been talking about, specific actions on that point alone? Can we say what we would see as one way of doing that, tying it down?
Yes, I think we should get a press conference together on this matter, because it is a serious matter. If it wasn't a serious matter, it wouldn't have been published and we wouldn't be here talking about it. As I stated before, that the echoes that I have received, George has. This group was a group of antagonizers that were being trained. Now, that is not the fact in toto. So we have to get it clear the atmosphere. Because as long as it's under the cover, no facts stated to the general public, this is still going to be the sense of opinion.
Okay, let's talk to that then so we can get down to specifics. One such idea was that a press conference be called. We're talking only now about the number two in the our part of the diagram, comprehensive input of data. That's all we're talking about here. His specific idea again is the press conference. Now let's have some discussion on that method or other methods. Only on this point.
I think a press conference is necessary, but I think it's important that we get facts out on the table that both points of view can accept as being the facts, and there is danger of having a press conference before there is agreement as what the...
But I'm saying that we have to gather all the information and sit down and talk about it and then go to the press, because we clear ourselves, but the general public is cloudy, and this is what we're trying to clear. So we have to agree with the county where the accusation is levied at, and vice versa.
Can the chair take the prerogative of suggesting a vehicle by which the first A part of that is gathering it and agreeing on that these are the facts, and the chair suggests this, then move on to the press conference idea after that has been done. Can the chair suggest that now we stop right now and get seven people, five people, whatever it is, set up a meeting, you agree today, set up that meeting, get a date for it, you sit down with the groups you think that should have it by gathering all the data, the budget, the whole bit, and what the facts are, and then the press conference.
Carol, I think that when the meeting started, it was directed toward the general question of public criticism, or public officials' criticism of EOC. And I don't think that there's any question that public officials or anybody else has a right to criticize EOC. And our board would never deny that. I think our concern was more about the form and the content of the criticisms and whether these criticisms were accurate and based upon facts. And the problem is where you get your facts. And Mr. Austin talked about an extensive survey that was done evidently by members of his staff about EOC and how it operates and the programs that it funds. George alluded to some of the things that came out of that statement, which led us to believe that perhaps the supervisors did not have the facts when they made the statement. Now, many of the statements that were made about the problems of administration, we won't deny there are many problems in this program, largely because of the concept of the program, which is the involvement of poor people in administration. So that you could say generally, and we would acknowledge that if the administrative structure of this is weak. There are things that need to be done, and our board had already taken steps to do something about it by asking for an administrative study in April of 1967, and that there had been a delay in getting that study. But now it is underway, even at the time that the statements were made. Among the statements that were made was that if our board had used maybe better judgment, they would have been able to increase the funding of manpower training and work programs, because this has a very high priority, we know, for poor people. They need to work and they need to get training. But the fact is that there are certain programs that we could not fund. We can't fund Neighborhood Youth Corps. We can't fund the county's work experience program. These are completely out of our domain, yet there was an implication that we could have done this. Well, we can't. The other thing that it implied was that we, our board was distributing funds in an inappropriate way, that they weren't really doing the job that was expected of them. And we have a board that's made up of some 24 different organizations, and one third of the representatives of this board are selected by poor people through the Community Action Council. And I don't know any quasi-public board that works harder at its task than our board does. And I think that the people on the board had the feeling that this was an unfair criticism, and that it was based perhaps on a lack of knowledge of what really was taking place, what the options we had. There were criticisms about the length of time that the board met. And some of the things that happened is that are really part of the historical development of the program. That what we were being criticized for were things that had happened early in the history of the program, and that there had been many, many changes that had taken place. The leadership program is a prime example of what I'm talking about. In the beginning of this, it was an effort to involve people within the community in a training program to build the vacuum in leadership. And it was our feeling that this was a legitimate way to use community action funds, because there has been a need to train people. Well, during the evolution of the program, it was apparent that training community leaders wasn't enough. They had to have some sort of an economic base from which to work, and so that in the refunding of the program, there were conditions set on the project that require now that they move into training programs in public services, and this is what the Board of Supervisors has approved. More recent statements about leadership training also appear to be based upon a lack of information about the program. We are funding this program for $189,000, not the $300,000 that was alluded to in the article. The fact is that as far as the administration of the program is concerned, there are four people on that staff who are responsible for administration. And the total cost of that is about $30,000. The greatest amount of money is being spent to trainee stipends, and this was I don't know what it is, but about $130,000. And yet the general public will come away with the impression that all of this money is going for administrators and none to training costs. There was an implication that this program had spent $27,000 for the use of one consultant. There was $27,000 budgeted for consultation, but the vast amount of that $27,000 is in-kind contributions that volunteers are making to the program, and it is not a cash contribution that's been made by federal funds. So these are the kinds of, I think, distortions that are conveyed that give an impression of of reading much more, many more problems than actually exist. And that's the this is the thing I think that we need to get together on. As far as our office is concerned, we're available to give the facts out, and we want this to happen. We're not immune to criticism. It's the only way change takes place. And the criticisms that were leveled against the board have resulted, I think, in a much more sensitive, insightful look at what is happening within our own board. And the board is as concerned as Mr. Austin and other public officials are about how we use money. And we will take this step. But the general climate of the community has been changed to some extent by the fact that, some of the things that have been said are really not based upon facts. They're based upon perceptions of these facts.
Seems to me then that we were starting out today talking about the method, both it means form and content, a process as we like to call it. Seems to me that this is an example where we can go beyond, as mentioned earlier, this specific event or instance, but use it again to get at the methods and techniques that would make for better relations among people. Shall we go on with this?
Let me ask one question. At what level of administration are the poor included? I've been hearing that the poor is to administer the program.
Should that be part of the fact gathering?
Yes. Yeah. All right. Okay.
Can we get to this specifically as an example? We were saying that we have to get the information, the data, and get somebody to gather it, and then meet, and then call the press conference later. We have several questions involved in that. Obviously, this dialogue will not call the press conference, but certainly groups in the community can, after meeting with the public officials and EOC to get their facts. Shall we continue this? Shall we do something about it? What shall we do about it? We have before us, shall we appoint a committee to gather the facts, follow it all the way through, meet with them, bring it back so that we know that they've gathered the facts, and then groups in the community can call that press conference or however it's worked. What shall we do?
Before what should we do, part of this, it seems to me, depends on the willingness or the consent of at least the two major things people involved, that is, whether or not the Austin, I guess, is gone at the moment. Whether or not the supervisors will agree to this as a way of, in a sense, seeing that a problem really exists. That is, the problem that we've been pointing to is a problem which does exist, that there are misperceptions, that they are rather grave and have some serious consequences for the future of the program if they do continue, and that they accept that, and that the EOC accepts that also, as we are, so to speak, a third party. This group would be a third party to that, whether they want that, and whether Supervisor Austin really feels that this has been talked out enough times already, and this is simply, or whoever, the chief administrator officer wants to
You're saying regardless of whether this group wants to do that, part of the success will come in their consensus on this.
The first step, right. It seems to me, if you're going to, is that you have to have some kind of consent of those who are involved to this method of a solution, or at least approach to it.
Leon.
I'm wondering what place the facts are going to have in this situation, because it seems to me that what we witnessed already today is that people, the criticism arose because of differences of understanding. And these are not based on lack of available facts. They're based upon the side. I think some of the things we're talking about first is a differential perception. So it seems to me that it's much more in order to talk about why we see these things differently and why the criticisms arise than to try to get the facts. We're not going to change anything. At least I don't think they're going to. And Jack's already told us some of the facts about the leadership thing, so I don't think that's going to do it. If we can just talk, why do we see these things, and why do we criticize, and why do we not want the poverty program to work in one way or another way, why do we want to change it? I think this is much more important.
Well, I think you're talking about two different things then.
George has said and others have said that the community from these articles have formed certain impressions based upon the facts as presented in the papers. Then you're talking about the other psychological reason behind all that.
It seems to me that this is the only reason. I don't think we're going to go around correcting all the misperceptions in the community, because they're being created 1,000 times a day. And if we can correct the, not correct, but if we can improve the perceptions of the people here so that subsequent misperceptions won't be created by misstatements, we'll be doing, I think, a much better job. This is my view.
I'd like to react to here, Mr. Chairman. I'm not going to cut up, but this was the original inception of this group, is to do what we are trying to do here now. It gave rise to confusion started, and we organized to see if we could offset some of the things that might be in the proceedings.
So we're really talking about two different purposes, our own value here, and whether or not what we criticize and has been deleterious effect the other way, the other place.
Well, whether we can correct it by some action that we create.
So I see hand in the back first, and then George, and then
one
I'll call
it. One of the things that Mr. Austin raised was the question of yardsticks, and I'm wondering what is the legitimate yardstick that we use to measure the efficiency of the OC. I think there are differential perceptions of what yardstick we do use. Do we use something like the Social Security Administration, which is highly efficient and has very low administrative costs? Or do we use something like the Family Support Division of the District Attorney's Office, which, if we accounted for the amount of money put in, what is the return? Where do you find the yardstick?
I think we're talking about the necessary data together. That's the data that they...
When do you mutually agree that you arrive at the goal?
That would be the gathering data process. They would have to determine, tell us what yardstick they're using, seems to me, in all of this.
I think there's a vast difference between the yardsticks that the people within the programs are using and that the Board of Supervisors are
using. Yeah, the differential perception. George?
Mr. Chairman, I tend to agree with Leon said here, that facts have been, supposedly facts were presented at the time they were presented, regardless of whether they were really facts or not. And a concept has been drawn, regardless of whether it was intended to be drawn that way one way or not. And it is that we are to come here together, and through our statements and our comments and discussion here, hopefully as the news media will pick this up in some way, to state and clarify that the things that have been presented are not necessarily the facts about the program specifically, and then that we can spend more time possibly on areas that would prevent this type of activity in the future, really, because here if we begin to divide in committees, investigating committee, then we're going to end up in subcommittees, and people are going to begin to drop out because of the amount of time which people do not have to participate in this manner. So I'd have to go back to agree with what Leon said. Let's expose these problems here, which we're doing with EOC, and then go on to circumvent it.
All right, George.
This is a general comment. It may not be directly on target, but I am concerned lest we're falling into a trap. Earlier in our discussion, I'm going back 3 months ago, there was much discussion that the concern of the group was we were in a racist society, and the majority just assumes that they can go and do and not give consideration to the minority because this is the way it's always been and this is the way it is. This was that general statement on the racist society. What I'm concerned about, I'm going back in parts of what Leon said in a nice way. There is a danger that the minority people who are doing the most of the talking are able to drop a conclusion that the power structure wants the war on poverty to fail. Now, I think in a sense that's what you said, Leon.
So
and I have to say there is a danger in having this dialogue group go the reverse of this racist society problem and assume that the people in authority, such as supervisors, councilmen, mayor, have bad intent. And I have to speak up and say, I think this must not be accepted, and there must be people speaking up to talk against Leon, lest it be recorded as a majority conclusion that the criticism was for low purpose intent. I think. This is my perception. Now, if you want to come back, my perception was that Supervisor Austin was sincerely being constructive. He may have been wrong or he may have been right, but I think he was sincerely constructive in talking to a problem, and the result of all of this, as Jack Katz has implied, can be constructive by having the organization in question give better consideration to some of the specifics. And yes, there is also room for having better handling of topics like this, so that we don't have a false impression brought into the community.
And a reaction.
Well, I have one reaction. I think what I'm concerned about is the consequences of this, because obviously people have taken different things out of the statements that have been made publicly, both by EOC and by the Mr. Austin and Mr. Dent. And I think that one of the things that all of us are trying to avoid is the hardening of attitudes that would say that just what Dr. Hall stated, that these public officials are not in sympathy with the program because, look, this is what they said, or that EOC is an inefficient organization and does not have the interests of good administrative management because this is what they have done. And my interest in this, and I'm sure Mr. Reeves and other members of our board who sit in on this meeting, is to what can we do to prevent, to maintain constructive criticism and at the same time assure ourselves that we're not contributing to the very thing that this meeting is organized to prevent. That is the feeling or the antipathy of race against race, group against group. This is our problem. In the poverty program, we have the haves and the have-nots, and I think that we see ourselves as an organization as a bridge between the groups, so that frequently we get criticized by conservatives for doing what we do and the extreme liberals, frequently poor people, for doing what we do. There isn't any national consensus that this program is for one single purpose. Everybody has their own ideas about it.
All right, seems to me we're back talking to differential perceptions.
May I say just one thing, because, and this is on differential perception too, Dr. Hall, Dr. Hall's statement maybe I was badly misunderstood, or maybe I didn't think myself very clear. What I was trying to say was that not that the power, that the local people want the poverty program to fail, but that they want to maintain the status quo, and I said more particularly of other parts of the country. And by status quo, I mean sort of basically, and this is not just my perception I'm talking about, I've heard it all over the place, including yesterday in Los Angeles, that the local power is normally not held by minority people. And the majority community sort of tends generally to want to be paternalistic, to tell what's good for us, to control the situation. This is the thing that I'm talking about, not that it would. And it would fail to some extent in the sense that the minority people wouldn't grow and be able to stand on their own feet if this paternalistic attitude is maintained. Like it's a giving program rather than a helping program.
All right, let me see if I can now tell us what we've done. We have gotten off of the idea of where we should go because maybe it's more important right now. We're really still talking about our feelings and perceptions about this. For example, whether it's valid or invalid, what George said is really what we had said in one of the perceptions. So whether it's valid or invalid, minorities do feel the way George said, though he was rejecting it as an opinion to be or impression to leave here today.
it is truth, it is fact, and it must be part of the record that minorities do feel that way, just as George Leon had just said. One of the perceptions then on the part of the minority is that, as spelled out just now. I see two or three hands, so I'll start it down here and ask them to make them short on up this side.
All right. Well, I think that something that just happened, and Mr. Ross, I don't mean to be offended, but he just asked the question, do you understand what differential perception is? Now, I think this is very basic. For surely, if we don't, if we're not willing to take the time, it might be very interesting here, I'll simply to have a show of hands. Who understands what differential perception is here? I'll bet 95% of the people in here understand what differential perception is, because the willingness to sit down and talk and understand it. And by not understanding it or even realizing it exists, we really are saying to the minority, you do not have a voice that I'm listening to, I think. You do not have a perception. Dr. Paul, who can give, I think, a very strong statement of a majority opinion or how he does it, also with the realization, I believe, of the differential perception of a problem, because sitting here for months and we've all been going through this. So commitment, if we have to take action to clarify issues or to get this information, bring it out to the public, unless we have a commitment from those persons involved that they are willing to sit and dialogue and understand differential perceptions, which is basically understanding different people's points of view.
I think that's well taken. Some did come in late and, of course, did not get on the preface. And maybe some others have some reactions to stopping maybe sometime in these and be sure that we understand it. Time is getting late, and yet that's a very important point you just mentioned. For everything really we're doing here, week after week, is really based upon what she said. And maybe those who have missed it can get with some of us and where we can debate over lunch or something and talk about it. I saw a judge's hand first.
Facts are supposed to be our business. And I hear you talking about facts here. We have a saying in the law that the state of a man's mind is as much a fact as the state of his stomach. And when you say that we must talk about facts and then forget the core fact is that attitude of people is the reason why we're here, is the reason why there is a difference between races, is the reason why we're having the problems we're having in society today. Attitude. There's only one to begin with, and that is attitude. Now, all these facts are purely things you bring in to hope to expose people to what the fact is, their own attitude, why they take the position they do, why they say this is so, or why they react this way. And if we spend our time talking only about what we choose to call objective facts, I think you're going to lose the point of what you can accomplish. You're going to have to equate every objective fact in light of the subjective reaction of people to it and why they react to it. And if you don't do that, you miss the whole point of. Now, this is the first meeting I've attended. You've probably said this many times over.
I think, but you've elaborated on Rosemary. You've responded to Rosemary excellently. I think, Rosemary, that's what you were saying. And that is the purpose of this.
Yeah.
So
I like the word attitude better than, what's that term you use?
Differential
perception. Yeah. It is one simpler. It understands what attitude is. Right.
To recognize the game, the same thing. It is hope that members or people that attend who can affect change as a result of listening to various attitudes will affect some action. It might be that we might be interested in asking the Board of Supervisors maybe to re-examine their position, to re-examine the way they handle to re-examine the way their particular report is covered by the new meeting. And as such, in the future, be cognizant of the mistakes that happened in the past.
Or be cognizant of the differences which exist,
right,
or whatever is going
that
on.
That might be all right.
John, I saw your hand.
I think it's too late, Carol, because I was going to open up for something, another thing, and we have to defer that.
All right. May I, Randy, have something to say?
Well, I'm not sure where we end up with any kind of payoff. In a sense, I'm feeling like the Graf Austin statement that there's a lot of talk, but where is the action? And in the sense he's saying, let's, you know, he's a man of some kind of action here, and after the talking is done, you still have got to act. And I'm not sure whether we have concluded whether the dialogue, the role of the dialogue group in action, that is, in whatever subsequent action takes place. It may be, as Joe just said, that we just kind of stir it up and then it resolves itself, however, we hope that people will be advised or instructed. Or we can do a follow-up as was intended with the transit company when specific suggestions were made about things which were of some concern to the minority community, and to check back and see if changes have taken place. All I'm saying is, at one point, it seems to me Reverend Oxley made the point that if you just talk and no action, people are not going to just do that. They've got to know, at least in some way, at some time, somehow, what we do here leads to change. That's what this is all about. And he had suggested a press conference of way of doing that. And we, I guess, have kind of backed off from that, as that's not what our specific action or involvement is in being a facilitator or a third party friend or anything like that to this particular controversy. All I'm saying is that that somewhere along the line we have got to resolve and make fairly clear where the action part of the dialogues comes. That is, much more specifically, to say that we're going to choose a particular role as an instrumentality in action toward change. And that has to be fairly clear, so we don't keep ending up with a kind of a vague feeling and pick up a new topic the next time. There has to be a pattern set for where the change
is. Let me react to that first. What I was about to say was, we stopped last week to look at ourselves. Invariably, and not just from minorities, the question implied in Glenn's statement continues to be raised. I think we'll have to agree on what our functional role is. And if, as we first started out, but modified later, at least open up for discussion, does it stop this way? Do we need it this way? Or, as the supervisor even mentioned, that there needs to be some kind of resolve here about the action. Now, that means that we again are going to have to decide, and we keep bringing it up. Should we be a facilitator of action, whatever, through whatever vehicle we want to agree upon or not? Oxley has brought it up many, many times. George Stevens has brought it up some other times. Several others have mentioned it. It's been opened up today several times. What do we do when we reach a point like this? In terms of action, we have to agree on this or we're going to be hung up every time.
Carol, the intent was that through the dialogue, there would be basically a change of heart or a change of attitude within the administration of those who are represented here, that they themselves, and hopefully this morning, and I certainly agree with Glenn that we have been here in vain, if those points that were made on the board on both sides, the majority and the minority, will not be taken by Mrs. DeGraff Austin back to the County Board of Supervisors, whether he agrees with what the reactions are or not, but at least they will be relayed. And that these type of actions concerning this specific, that these attitudes, as it related to these specific articles about this program, should be relayed back to those people. Because if he does not relay it back to the County Board of Supervisors who were in question with the EOC, then we have been here in vain. Now, if these attitudes that are dropped, that if these statements and comments that are made here are not reported back to someone else who can affect change, then I would have to agree that we discontinue the dialogue or we become an action group and go out and push for the action. And that relates to the statement I made about the downtown stores. If the attitudes here will not be to an extent that those persons who are here, when I made that report,
when they go inside of one of these department stores, they don't look at the girl behind the counter or don't look at the manager and say, do you hire minorities? Do you have them here? Then it wasn't worth a damn me making a statement in the first place, because we're in no lawmaking policy where we're going to all walk downtown and say, let's change, you've got it. But hopefully, that these reports that are made, the people who are here representing different agencies and organizations will take this back and state it to them. And I hope Mr. Austin does not leave with the attitude that still we've dialogued again and still we've not come to any conclusion, because we did come to a specific conclusion here on that board this morning of attitudes in the black community or the minority community versus those in the majority community. Those were specific.
I would like to have a record of the meetings. Deliberation this morning, so I would have something to speak on. But I think that your reaction to what has been said on behalf of the county here and there is largely what you heard through the press. And I would like to say that that isn't always the most resourceful source of information. They're simply reporting the news.
You got that differential.
With no axe to grind, every minute of service I've rendered to this organization from its outset or to the economic opportunity has been done without one dime of compensation and a great personal expense in addition to the time spent. And I have been faithful all through the years. And if I, as a part of the organization, am not to criticize myself and the sloppy job we're doing, I don't know why we should trust a fee outside to do it. Now, here this morning is an example of the expense the county has put to. You've got three of the most expensive men on the payroll, Dietrich and Keller and
Maury.
All get more money than I do, and still they're devoting their morning's time at county expense to pick up the reaction in the community as developed through this dialogue.
Chairman, we realize.
I'd like to close on the high note of a motion to indicate that we men and women of goodwill are gathered together to try to evolve a better operation of the program to lift out of poverty and motivate to a better life those who are concerned with the who are needful of that help
then
this agency.
Enjoy.
I heartily concur in the price of what this costs, and I certainly hope that what we end up doing is making this an investment, not an expense. Simply an expense becomes nothing. Takes place, and this has been money very well spent and cheap at this price.
Chairman, my reaction was concerning the news media. Certainly, we all know that the news media many times take things out of context, contents, and everything else. But the point is that there is also a channel by regress from the party who supposedly made the statement that the news is capitalizing on. And then it's up to that party or up to that organization to correct this news media so that they may retract statements the same as CIC has done in the case of the reporting of the police department with the young man. They reported or retracted. So it's sand. If you see somebody being hung and you go along with it, you're just as guilty as the person who's hanging because you don't try to correct the situation. So if what they said in the press was misquoted or untrue, then you have the responsibility to correct that and straighten it out. And that's, again, it's what we're trying to accomplish here.
All right, Phil, do you want to give the closing statement? And before we do, get your closing statement. The next meeting is held January what?
January
12th
we have.
Would you please make a note? We'll try to get it out on a specific calendar. January 12th is the next meeting. Phil, before you make your statement, may I make two other observations? Most of you who've been attending got one of these evaluations of the dialogue. Do you have any of these you'd like to leave with us? Please do. If you didn't get one, you will. So just hold tight, you'll get one. Those who have them, would you leave them, please? And finally, I am not sure I'm picking up the feelings accurately here. Do we drop this, or do we pick it up where we left it today?
Yeah.
I was going to suggest that we continue it. So I think it's
right.
Well, to assume that Mr. Austin has changed his position, and that if this is the kind of thing that we were going to be able to do with the board system, just in this small experience. Seems to me that we ought to continue.
That was my feeling, but I have to get. Is there any opposition to that?
I'd like to be informed, Carol. I'm concerned with number E for our next meeting. Where do we go from here? I don't have specifically where we are going to go from here. I have agreed consistently with Reverend Oxley about getting to the specifics in this matter. I don't know. I can't understand that we have. I see what. We're talking about racism. This has been the underlying evidence. I am unable to understand really how racism equates with the funding and the administration of EOC as a program. Education, yes. Education as in generic, yes. Employment, these things. And I was wondering when we are going to get to these things, if we should be preparing ourselves to direct our thoughts to this for the next meeting.
Any opposition then to using the EOC and get down to the racism implications of this,
specifically? I'd love to do that, Mr. Chairman, but as Leon pointed out here, Mr. DeGraff's attitude seems to remain the same as when he first came to this meeting, and therefore that same attitude would possibly be reported or continued by the County Board of Supervisors. Now, as the judge said here, regardless of whether he agrees or disagrees, a program in question that involves minority people who are represented here this morning has attitudes that's put up on that board there. Now, he may agree or disagree, but what does this action take place in the future? Does he go on in the same fine fashion or business as usual, or is there something that here has taken place changes that?
Well, I think then that takes care of it there if we continue this.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Well, assuming all his attitudes are wrong.
No, I'm not assuming that's wrong. I didn't say that. But he's assuming that ours are wrong at this particular time in the administration and the manner in which the poverty program is taking place. But the minority attitude here has been a difference between his attitude, is what I'm saying.
Right or wrong, they're different.
That's right, they're different. And therefore, we have not came to any kind of type of conclusion that they're still different.
Shall we continue this topic next time?
Yeah, and I don't think we should be on because he's only stated what the original intent of the program was. That's all he's doing.
Yeah, he's given his perception.
Yeah.
We should take it from there and get away from that end of it and get
Carol, I think it's important that one of the ground rules in this whole discussion was not to put people on the spot.
Right.
And I think we've forgotten about that to some extent in this particular discussion. I think it's unfortunate. We're here mostly to gain some insights about the consequences of public programs, of our own individual actions, as it's perceived by people in the minority and majority community. So it's a sort of a situation where we're trying to learn something that will help us to avoid problems in the future. And we're not going to do it in one session in any kind of a program. This is just one kind of experience that we open up ourselves to.
Just in closing, I hope that we will consider a press conference. All of the major issues of the world are held on a press conference, and they start in a dialogue like this. And they have to take them to the public because the public's not coming here. And we can't give enough information one by one out in the various areas and contacts we have to quell all these attitudes of people. It would have to be somewhere.
Carol, even though it's late, can't we move to action on this one, and can't you as our chairman request that Jack Katz and Fred Moore get together on the back and do it as fast as possible, but get together to the point where the two of them can agree on the facts, and then request that growing out of this coming together on facts, a press conference be called using the Board of Supervisors as a possible vehicle. We'll let Fred decide how that's done. And at a very near future, have a press conference to deal with the fact of a specific that was used as an illustration that triggered much of this else off. And it isn't a total issue. It is a press conference to clarify the facts on a specific issue that is one of the projects within EOC.
All right, now we're back to what I was trying to get at a minute ago about this specific one. Is that acceptable, Fred?
I would like to almost
clarify the situation so that we understand what happened there. You, through Mr. Keller, went to the Board of Supervisors. The Board of Supervisors instructed the Chief Administrative Officer to appoint a member of his staff. I am a member. To continually sit on these dialogues. And the reason was is to establish a vehicle for regular communication with the Board of Supervisors. I have spent my morning listening rather than talking. I do work for the Chief Administrative Officer, and he in turn works for a board. I cannot sit over here and do what the chairman here tells me to do unless the board is willing to do. But let's set the record straight as to where we are now. The Board of Supervisors adopted a policy position which said in effect that they thought that there were certain programs which were the EEOC program that they thought were very proper and had to do with jobs or training, education, and they were very critical of administration. These were the two things that they did in simple terms. At the same time, we have going on, Mr. Katz has mentioned, a review of the administrative practices, the financial handling within that organization, separate from any of this, impartial. The county contributed staff time for this project. When that comes out, in terms of discussing the administrative program, we're all going to have a lot better vehicle, something to focus on. I mean, this is, I think, is going to be objective and factual. This is separate from perceptions or concepts or attitudes in regard to specific kind of programs. Now, having been appointed to do this, I will be here at all the meetings as I possibly can, and I will be talking to individual board members, certainly to Mr. Austin. I think that I'm sure Mr. Austin feels that perhaps there are misconceptions of what he is thinking about. I think that I would like first to go back to board and say, or board members, as the case may be, how would you like to express yourself? Did you really mean what these people feel you meant, the conceptions, the perceptions that people have of what you did? I don't really believe that the Board of Supervisors, the majority of the Board of Supervisors, really intended that which is being perceived. And I think if you leave this right now with understanding that as their representative, I'm going back and talk to them, I think you've served a very useful purpose here. And I think that it's obvious also that the board has decided that participation in these groups will serve a very useful purpose. And I think you have achieved a lot, although you're looking for a very definitive action, I don't think right this minute at this time. I think you've done a lot.
All right. But we have to end your joy. Yeah. You see, we just can't, you know, this has come up two or three times. Now, we've had a reaction, if I interpret it right, that maybe that's not the proper action to take, if I just plow through what you said and try to get a conclusion. At this time, that much has been accomplished. Now, we have to take the next two or three minutes and decide, are we or are we not, is that the consensus or what?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I thought that he said in his statement that what the general public had concluded they had reached was not the intent of the
right.
of the board. Well, if they're not the intent of the board, then I don't see why they should be adverse to a press conference to clear that matter up, to tell them what they actually meant.
Amen.
See, telling us, we understand what they're saying, but there are 30,000 people out there that can't understand what they're saying, and they want an explanation.
We're back to George's point.
Yeah.
Is that acceptable? George, react, please.
Well, first remember, I propose that you as chairman request. It is not a demand.
Yeah.
I think that the request could still be recorded.
Okay.
But Maury, as the county administrator, is going to have to use judgment as to whether he immediately acts only after consulting with his board and other things. But it is a proposal. That there is people here seem to want to have facts brought out on a single specific, and I'm not talking about the total action or the total direction being given by the Board of Supervisors. I'm talking about a apparent lack of agreement as to the facts regarding a specific program, and I would hope your request would be that the specific facts on that be brought out in a small sense rather than the big sense at an early press conference. But it's a request, not a direction.
Any objection to that?
So moved. In your hand.
All right, then may I then request and be brought back here the facts, be gathered through a meeting with Jack Katz or an authorized person by him, to meet with Fred Murray or an authorized person by him, for the purpose of gathering the facts in the specific manner as been discussed here this morning. Shall we?
I would object to that.
And bring that information here for us as well, and to consider this being the basis for future press conference. Is that specific enough?
Carol, let me react to that. I think that we can kind of prolong the agony with leadership training. We could have issued a statement saying that these facts are wrong, at least according to the information we have. I'm more inclined to feel that it would be far better that in the future, whenever any of us are involved in a specific program that relates to EOC, that before statements are released, that we're very sure about these things. And then, for example, there will be other programs where people will be critical of. And what I would appreciate as an administrator of the program, and I'm sure our board would too, is that we check these out before a release is made, because you can never catch up with it. Really, you know, the impression is created, and this is one of the things that we've learned about media. Once the mind is set, it's more difficult to change that. So if we've learned anything out of this, maybe the important thing is that all of us be very careful in the way we use facts and figures, and that we go to the source before there is a release of this. And then once you're sure about it, you can draw any conclusions you want, because this is a free country and each of us has a responsibility to make our opinions known. But I don't see that a press conference at this point would be particularly helpful, but that's my reaction to it. If the committee wants this, certainly we'll cooperate in it.
Mr. Chairman, let's go back to that. Now, what would be the more advantage to us? There are sentiments in the community to call a Senate investigation of the whole power struggle of San Diego. Now, what would be to our advantage to have this particular thing here, and would it all probably offset something like that, or would you want the Senate to come in here and investigate the whole power program? Can we stand an investigation? I don't know what we're doing. I don't know. Maybe we can. But
we'd be very happy to have an investigation. We have nothing to hide.
There would be something between the two parties that the paper would have to. All right, just take another minute or two to resolve this.
I think one of our major hangups is the fact that it's a joint situation. I think the gentleman from the Board of Supervisors stated it clearly. I think after he goes back and checks to make sure of the position of the full board, I'm sure they themselves might want to issue a press conference or have a press conference to clear the air. But I don't feel it's necessary for a joint press conference, because I think Jack has made clear previously the EOC's position.
And Carol, may I withdraw my request?
I think the withdrawal of the request is in order, because Jack, being one of the parties to it, has expressed a different concern at this moment. Not that he's precluded this from future time. Shall we then continue this, pick it up again the next time? If so, Phil, you still didn't get your words of wisdom in. Do you still have them, or have they jumped out of your head?
I still have them, but they've been covered.
Mr. Chairman, what approach will we continue this?
What purpose would we be continuing this? For what purpose?
Yeah. Well, then maybe I've misinterpreted what was earlier said.
Well, I don't see the purpose myself now. Right?
We've concluded that both parties are concerned about it, and therefore try to do something to keep down for the publicity of this nation.
Right.
So what else can we do?
But would it still be an order? I have a question. Would it still be an order for Mr. Katz and the supervisors to meet, not for press release purposes, but in terms of reporting back to this group the factual information?
I don't know.
Just be agreeable to
meet
supervisors.
Excuse me, Chairman. I still want to say I think we're being presumptuous. We're assuming that things have changed. I don't think we have any right to make that assumption. I think we have no right to assume that the members of the Board of Supervisors don't change their attitude. That they now agree with us. I don't think we have no right to assume
I don't think that's an assumption. I think that people will leave this meeting with whatever thoughts they came in with, and perhaps with a much better understanding of how people view the actions that are taken. But I don't expect that this is a group psychotherapy session. You know, we're not going to make great changes in people's attitudes. I think we can open up new things for them to see.
Let me ask Leon, is he saying something else then? Is he saying whether or not they've changed that the full understanding of not just this particular thing, we're talking about the differential attitude, you think that needs to be further explored with regard to this issue?
Yes, I do. This is what I'm saying.
A minute ago we agreed that we continue this. Is there a change in this now?
I would just like to support Leon in the sense that we have really talked, we opened this subject up around the specific issue, namely that of criticism by public officials of an agency. Insofar as the EOC is concerned, and the Common Board of Supervisors, as I understand the legislation which is pending, and at this point maybe not signed into law, there is going to be some change in the direction of the involvement of the County Board of Supervisors in the actual decisions about the program. If that's the case, then it seems to me very important that if there are differential perceptions about this, we continue to talk, so those changes which take place will take place in a different kind of atmosphere than exists right at this minute.
You know, we've been doing all the talking, too.
What might be helpful is to get off the business about specific criticism of the EOC and rather look at the war on poverty as viewed by the community, which is a much broader subject, and people have different perceptions of this and what it means for the future. And I think the changing legislation will also create some public controversy and issue as to how to implement this. And it might be good for the group to address itself to that kind of a problem.
George?
Carol, two things.
One more comment, then we'll close.
You hear several sides here, but two things which is very significant. One is that it's important, Leon, to stay on this subject. But two, in order to stay on it, it seems to me that it's going to be a necessity to go back to some type of clarification to the people. We're not meeting here for ourselves. I need to be brainwashed. There is 25% of the whites here I see around that don't really need to be brainwashed in this perception business. But I think that they were involved with people in the community. So certainly maybe Jack does not see a need at this time to clarify something that's already gone out, but I'm looking at that thing from a different perception Jack's looking at it from, even though he's director of EOC. I don't agree with him on this. I'm thinking of people who are in the community who many times the news media, the senators, as he said, who would come to investigate, they aren't going to talk to Jack Cass, they're going to talk to little old Lady Jones over there on 25th and Imperial and say, what do you think about that poverty program down there? And she's going to say, I think they're all fouled up. They aren't trying to help us. You know, you see what I'm saying? So there is a necessity for clarification by these two sources that they get together, bring back to this meeting, as Dr. Hall recently stated. And if there need be a press conference, depending on what these facts present, then let that be a press conference for clarification. But if it is like the County Board of Supervisors say, then certainly there's no need for a press conference. They've already made a statement, it's already true. But if it is not that way, you see, we're talking about other people, not those here, or your attitude,
those perceptions were expressed of individuals in the community, not just of individuals who were sitting here.
Then what I hear is we'll use this next time as a topic and get facts. Jack, you think, since it's not the press conference, but you can get together between now and then and have us pick it up from there and move on to these other questions in terms of re-evaluating where we go in terms of this next time. If so, I thank everyone for coming and see you in January 12th.
Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year.